episode 98 of the Carrier's Edge podcast, and it's Best Fleets Day. We announced at the top 20 this morning. I'm Jane Jasraoui, co-founder of Carrier's Edge and Best Fleets to Drive For, and with me as always,
Mark Morrell, other whatever you just said there.
All the things.
But also, like, you just jumped right away into, like, the main headline.
Yeah, it's a headline.
Spoil everything.
Headline. That's what that is. Extra.
Not how we do it.
Extra, extra. No, that's not how you do it, but that's how I do it.
We have 96 episodes of doing it a particular way.
Oh, my God.
See, now, normally we would be talking about what we're going to discuss.
I think we know what we're going to discuss. Are we going to just discuss that, or are there any other things that we're going to discuss?
I think I want to fight about this for a while first.
Oh, you want to fight about it?
Well, I have a scrap about your bad way of starting the thing.
We're both very tired. We've been up since...
Well, first off, hang on. Step back a bit.
Okay.
Normally, this episode, this sort of late January or end of January episode of the podcast, happens in a kind of odd way where we record it before the top 20 best fleets are announced, but it comes out after.
Right.
So it's sort of a little bit of a limbo episode of podcast. But for various reasons, mostly centered around the fact that I forgot to put it in our calendar yesterday, we didn't record it yesterday. And so we're doing it today. And we're doing it on the day of the announcement.
And we know who the top 20
yes.
are.
Now, in any one of those previous years, we could have talked about the winners because the podcast wasn't going to get released until after they were announced anyway, but we never did, just to be safe.
Oh no,
that would be way too stressful.
Yeah, it's already stressful enough about, you know, trying to keep things a secret, and especially with the overall winners, like that's not for the top 20, but later on when we do the awards, trying to think, have I inadvertently said the name of the overall winner?
Yes.
And, or you dream about it, that kind of thing. I don't like that.
No, usually it's when you're like in your hotel room. It's like 2 days before the event or the day before the event. And you're in your hotel room after socializing with all of those people. And it's like 11:30 at night. And you're like, oh crap, what did I say? Did I let it slip?
Yeah, I don't like that.
But now the cat is out of the bag. We can safely talk about it, even though we don't talk about specifics all that much, specific fleets of who made it and who didn't make it. But now we have that freedom.
Well, we have a brand new fleet, Crawford Trucking.
Yes. Okay.
Which is nice to have a brand new to the top 20. All of our Hall of Fame recipients are in the Hall of Fame again because they will never leave. They're just, you know, they're part of the carpet now.
Maybe.
So far they're holding
on.
Stay tuned
for more.
Stay tuned. Yes. You never know what's going to happen. So we have one new one. We have Brenny Transportation, who has been on the best fleets at top 20 and then was off and then came back on, which is really cool. I like it when that happens, and I like seeing companies rise within the ranks of the top 20. We don't actually rank the top 20, but I mean, we could, we just don't. I don't think we want to get into that whole. Well, you know, we have an overall winner, so we obviously know what the list is and we know what the ranking is. We have to know who the top scoring one is, so we have to know everybody's score.
Yeah, and somebody did ask us already today if they can find out where they placed, and my response was that it's not that relevant. Well,
are they in the top 20? Was that
no.
a top someone who's
it
not
was a
in
finalist,
the
finalist who didn't quite make it. But without a whole lot of other context, knowing that ranking is not going to be that meaningful to you. So get the report, look at the things that it tells you, work from there. But knowing that you were number 34 instead of number 36 or whatever, that's not meaningful. Doesn't tell you very much. Doesn't tell you why and what to do about it.
I would agree. I think getting the report and knowing what the... Well, there's two things. Getting the report and figuring out your score versus the score of whoever the overall winner was, but also getting the book.
Yes.
And seeing what the scores were compared to the scores that you got on a question. So, you know, question 3 in human resources, what was your score? What were the scores of the top 20? That's going to be in the book, in the results book that you get after the awards conference, because that will tell you, basically, it gives you a really good idea of why the overall winners are the overall winners.
Or the top 20 or the Hall of Fame. Yeah, all the things that they're doing.
So you can see, like, you don't need us to tell you where you rank. You kind of know where you rank after looking at all that data. And we could tell you, but like you said, it doesn't...
It measures the wrong thing, or that focuses on the wrong things.
It also depends on how many people or how many companies are in the program that year. And so that might, you know, just the sheer number of companies might change your ranking.
Well, and sometimes, you know, the ranking, because it will be affected by things like driver retention and safety performance, yeah, and things like that, you may be two or three spots lower than you might be otherwise because you had a bad year. You had a lot of people hit you or something.
Or you had a lot of retirements in a year, or yeah, you had a lot of people hit you. So there were tows and things like that that were not your fault.
I would say, this is probably something we should talk about at the conference when we dig into these numbers, but within that sort of mid-range of anyone from, you know, the next 20 to 30 fleets below the top 20 or below the sort of winners, I would say a lot of their scores can be influenced pretty significantly by things like safety or a lot of retirements, or they may have had an experience where they rolled something out the drivers really were unhappy with. And like those things can make a bigger difference there. So it's not as meaningful to look at what your actual rank is, the absolute rank. It's much more meaningful to, like you say, get the report, look at all of the different sections, look at the scores, see what people are doing, go through that process.
And the program score is the biggest amount of the total score. So working on your programs, rather than figuring out where you rank and how to beat the next one up, looking at your total score in that is a really good place to start. Where should you put your effort? Is your effort in retention programs, human resources? Like, what are you missing? What are your gaps? And I think that is a really good way to figure out how to move up in those rankings. Even though, like, the top 20 don't know their rankings either.
Yeah.
And they go up and down.
Yep.
Every
Absolutely.
Year. And it doesn't really matter. You kind of have to cross a threshold and then you're kind of there.
Yeah. I would also remember the big picture, which is one of the other things that I said in response to this question today. Look at the big picture of this, that even if all you do is make it to the finals, you've really gone a long way. There are tens of thousands of fleets that are eligible to participate in this program. And this year there was, what, 67 or whatever that were finalists. That's a very small list of fleets that have made it to that level. And that means that people have got their act together in terms of being able to collaborate internally to figure out what they're doing, get their driver surveys done, get the interview finished, tell their story. They've come a long way. Even if you don't make it all the way to the top 20, you've accomplished a lot by making it to the finals.
And if you want to find out, really dig in more, that's what the conference is about. The conference in April at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, April 8th and 9th. Whether or not you're a winner, going there is going to give you access to the people who score you and access to the other best fleets. And you can ask them directly, how do I improve on there? You know, what are some of the ways that you've improved in this area? How many, you know, what kinds of tips can you give me if you want to have a driver committee? Kinds of tips would you have on a safety, you know, using cameras and that kind of thing? Like, that's where, you know, a lot of those muscles are built up.
Yeah.
And the top 20 do a lot of figuring out being part of the community, being part of the general trucking community at large, and figuring out what other things people are doing that work.
Yeah, I look at it like the Olympics. Like, if you're a finalist in the Best Fleets program, it's kind of like going to the Olympics. You might go to the Olympics and get eliminated in the first heat. It doesn't matter. You still went to the Olympics. How many people can say that? Right? You might have been the absolute worst. You might have been the person who was dead last in your heats and you just got bumped immediately. You still made it there.
And I think, you know, I'm glad that we do the logos now for nominated and finalist and that kind of thing, because that is kind of gives companies a badge of honor to say, you know, one, I was nominated, like our company was nominated, our company was a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't end up in the top 20, you are still, you know, showing drivers that you care. And I think that's one of the big pluses of the program, is that it's well known enough now that drivers understand that it's not malarkey. You like that? Malarkey.
There is the tagline that I was looking for.
It's not
for
malarkey.
Best fleets to drive for, : it's not malarkey. Yes. So that brings me around to something that we really should note as a disclaimer on this episode. We are very tired. And the reason is that all of the big announcement stuff happens at 9 a.m. Eastern time.
Yes.
Well, we are not in Eastern time. We are in Pacific time.
And it is very early. So we don't have to, we can't just be up at 6 a.m. We have to be ready to go by 6 a.m.
We have to be part of a group meeting, yes, at 5:45 Pacific time this morning. A bunch of us got onto the Zoom and we were all coordinated who was updating, who's double checking this and checking these other things. Somebody's posting Facebook, somebody's posting LinkedIn, making sure all of those things work.
Can I just interrupt? I know that many, many people in the trucking industry get up at crazy hours of the morning. So us complaining about 5:45 is, well, we had to get up at 5:15 or something. But that's, we realize that we are very soft people and that, you know, lots of people get up early and don't get good sleep and all of that stuff. I totally salute people who can get up early in the morning. We are not them.
Well, two things. Yes, we are absolutely not. People that engage in creative pursuits generally are not fond of early mornings.
And we like sleep.
No, your body clock is on a different schedule, is what happens. You're on later hours. You tend to stay up later. You tend to want to sleep in later. And yeah, there are people who are adjusted and will get up early all the time. But that's the second part of it, that it's really what you're used to. If we were getting up at 5 o'clock every day, it wouldn't be a big deal. But when you're used to getting up at a certain time, and now you got to get up 2 hours earlier and be alert and be, I don't know, conscious or something.
Yeah.
Coherent and make decisions on the fly, it's tricky.
I think that's the key, is that we make a lot of decisions, mm-hmm. especially in January. And there's a lot of brain work that goes into best ways to drive for is trying to figure out the, you know, what are we scoring these questions on? Are they being scored fairly? Is it accurate? And doing that for what, you know, 50 odd questions that we score. Your brain gets really tired. And I don't know how many people have had the experience of just your brain is tired and you can't think anymore. And it's not being sleepy, because it can happen in the middle of the day where your brain is like, oh my God, I cannot make a single, like one more decision is too much.
Yeah. I cannot sentence these words make.
Exactly. And you just start losing it. And all you want to do is turn on the TV and lie there and like just sit there and not even like really process what they're saying on TV. You just sit in front of glowing
yeah,
box.
Or sometimes in the warmer weather, you just sit outside and stare at the sky.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, your brain is full. And we have, I don't know why we thought this was a good idea, but we also do our big performance reviews in January. So we're not only thinking about evaluating best fleets, but we're also evaluating our team.
Yeah.
So it's so tiring.
Well, we're in the zone. We're in the performance evaluation zone.
But like a sports event, all of the athletes are exhausted after the game. Like you have kind of this euphoria, a little sort of time limited euphoria when it's done. And then you're just like, clunk, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yeah.
You're dead. And then everybody goes on vacation for a month or whatever. That's kind of what it's like for January for us. It's go, go, go. Think. Decision. Evaluate. Okay. And we're done. And I would love to go off to a desert island in February and just not speak to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
But we can't.
Well, we have gone off to an island, except that we now live there.
We actually live on the island, yes. And I do think it is, I think it's actually more tiring to live here than it was in Ontario, just because we walk a whole lot more.
Yeah, you have so much more exercise.
Yeah, and the air. Like you just have so much more, you're just so much more interested in getting fresh air. And yeah, so I was just way more tired.
Well, not helping any of that was that we had decided that it was also high time to overhaul the Best Fleets website.
Ah.
That had been up there for a few years. We needed to do a redesign for SEO optimization, to change the way the information is presented. We were getting to have so much stuff that we collect and distribute through that site, podcasts, newsletter, blogs, all kinds of different things, the results books and all kinds of data about the program and now the conference. We needed a complete ground up redesign of that site. And what better time to do that than when we're in the middle of scoring? and have that ready. So we had it ready. It was in very good shape. And I'm going to give a public shout out to Kostek, who worked his butt off over the last few weeks, doing all kinds of stuff that we don't even really pay that much attention to, making sure it works nicely on mobile, that it has a consistent layout and view on all of the different platforms and every different device that you need, and also is optimized so that it's relatively fast, so it's not like pages taking a long time to load, and there's a ton of data that needs to be correct on there. Big job, and he did a fabulous job with it.
Not to mention the designer of the website.
Oh, yeah. And the creative department drew some pictures, too.
Oh, well, I want to give a shout out to Berenice, who is our team lead in the creative group. And she has saved my life over and over again, just from, or like saved my hair from completely falling out, because I find websites extraordinarily stressful. I am not good at building them. I don't like building them. I don't, you know, I just don't like them. And I mean, I appreciate them, and you know, I just don't want to create them.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And what was really nice is Berenice, like, just kind of took it, and she and Kostek worked really well together and did a really fabulous job. And there's just so much that goes into that website. I, like you said, all the podcasts are there, all of the articles are there, like all of the different books are there. So if you want to go and look at the results books for all the different years, you can go and look at the historical results and you can see all of them. You don't have to go hunting for them anymore, and you can see
now,
all the...
Just pause on that for a second, because the farther back you go, the less polished it is at this point. The stuff that's right on the front, this year's results, the brand new stuff, that's all good. But Kostek is still grinding through bug fixes and cleanup and all of that stuff on the past years, and like press releases from 10 years ago still need some cleanup and things. But that's the level of grind that you have to do on a site like this, that we have press releases from 15 years ago that we have to double check and make sure that they're working properly.
Oh, there's so many details that...
Yeah, and a million little images and designs that Berenice did.
And logos. And
I joke about it, but she is fantastic. She did a wonderful job, as she always did, always does, and made it really look nice. And not just look nice, there's a lot of machinery in there that it's not just making a pretty picture in Illustrator, it's designing it, designing the flow, figuring out answers to questions like what happens when you hover, what happens when it's this size, what happens when you can't fit it all on the screen, like all of those kind of responsive questions that need to be handled. She did all of that using the proper tools, which is something that we struggled with last time, is learning the common tool set for those kind of projects. So she did a fabulous job there.
And that's one of the things that we've really discovered in the creative group, is that the tools are evolving and you have to kind of keep up with it. So there are tools for websites. There are tools for animated ads. There are tools for, well, Illustrator is a basic tool, but it can only do so much. There are tools for creating books. Like, so the booklet that we do every year is created in a page layout program. And in learning all of those things is really difficult. It's difficult to master them. Most of the time, people are good at one of them, one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to, in our, you know, because we do both marketing creative and content creative, we have to be able to go back and forth between programs a lot. And so the Adobe suite is kind of, it's necessary for us to know how to use a lot of different things in that suite. And it's tough. It is, you know, it's tough to learn a new program, and she learned it and applied what she learned, and it has turned out really, really well. So now she can do every website forever and ever and ever. Although she's not. She's going to teach the rest of the team how to do it. So that's good.
Yeah. See, you would consider that a punishment, but she doesn't have a huge problem with that, doing all the websites.
The thing is with, and it's really any kind of creative task now, I am at the point where I can't do them. And it was funny because I decided to, so Kostek needed the carrier's logos and for the top 20 announcement. And so we wanted to make sure that each logo, each of the carrier's logos was big enough that they all looked like they were equally important, which is really tough when they're all different shapes. So we have circles.
Not the same size.
No.
But taking up the same sort of mental and visual space.
Yeah. So
that they look equally important.
And some of them are really long and thin. Some of them are round, like
I said.
Some
are very sparse and
yeah.
Yeah, thin, and some of them are very dense.
So when you do that logo picture, it's actually, there's design in there because we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we move these logos around so that they don't all, it doesn't look gross, because it could look gross very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing these logos and I thought, oh, I'll just export these logos on a white background and Costa can do it from there. And then he was like, well, no, because they're on a white background, but I need to put them against a dark gray surface. So I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'll give you transparent backgrounds. Yeah, but then the relative sizes aren't working anymore. And I'm finally today, you know, a little while ago, I was like, Bernie, say, help me.
Well, you just need multiple versions of some of those logos.
She had this trick that I didn't know about, which was, and no one's going to care about this, but if you create an invisible rectangle, you can export the PNG, like an actual, that has an actual border and a size.
Oh, okay.
If you do it with just the artboard, it won't. But if you put a square there, then it'll go with that square. And maybe I knew that at some point, but I don't think so. So I was like, oh my God, that. And then after that, I was like, maybe I should just give this to her and like stop trying to give Kostek images. Like,
well, that's good because I had a ticket on that because there was issues with inconsistency on some of those. So
yeah, that was my fault. That's what happens when the manager gets involved and tries to quote unquote help.
Yes.
I think when I said, you know, here's my Illustrator file. Can you finish this? Can you, you know, and I think she was happy.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm not allowed near the code anymore.
Yeah, I think that you know, they smile politely and kind of go, okay, yeah, your input is great. Thanks. Bye.
And then they just sort of budget some time to undo whatever it is we've done. Just fix whatever we've helpfully built for them. Yes. It is a balancing act because there's sometimes on the technical stuff where we're the only ones who know. Like on the animated ads you mentioned, you're the only one who had any experience with that tool. So you kind of had to drive it at least a bit in the beginning.
I knew more about Flash, which is Animate's predecessor. I knew more about that than anybody else on the team, just because it was the tool that everyone used for e-learning and moving and doing any kind of animation at all. And then completely fell out of favor for like 7 or 8 years.
Well, until they rebranded and had a comeback.
No, it wasn't until they had export to HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only, that was why Animate came back. I mean, I don't know who's using Flash the way it used to be. Like, you can still export the Flash files, but.
Yeah, but they don't run anywhere.
Who's using those? So, yeah. So now everybody, all of my team who went through art school not using Animate or not using Flash because Steve Jobs said no more Flash, so no one used Flash anymore, to all of a sudden going, ah, no, actually, you do need to know it. So there's just this constant learning of new tool sets and new concepts and things like that, which is a bit, you know, it's good. And once you learned enough of them, like, and this is the thing with software that people don't understand, is once you've learned, you learn a couple of things really, really well, and then you start to see the patterns.
Hmm.
Because all software is developed by people.
Yeah, it all ends up being the same.
Yeah, so once you know the things that
except Facebook.
Ugh.
But yes, for the most part, most systems run very similarly.
Well, not even that, but there's a pattern to how they work.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Facebook. I just don't know that pattern. But once you, like all of the Microsoft Office things, except Excel, but even Excel to a certain extent, they all kind of operate the same way. And all software programs operate the same way. Like, you can use keys to do shortcuts. You can use, there's always a print button.
There are similar concepts that are applied
in
all kinds of places.
And it's the same thing with graphics programs. Like, once you've learned enough of them, then you can pretty much pick up any of them. It's like an instrument, actually.
Yeah.
You learn one really well.
Second one is terrible to learn. The second one is a bit easier. And then from there, it gets a lot easier.
Yeah. And languages too, probably, especially if you're using the same family of languages. And so technology is no different.
Yeah.
And I think mobile apps are like this. You know, once you know one mobile app, like once you've learned mobile, you can use pretty much any mobile app.
Yeah.
Like people have not, it's not like people complain about how hard mobile apps are.
Well, they force a simplicity in the design.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's definitely a positive. But yeah, they do all work the same way. And part of that is the interface guidelines that are enforced by the operating system underneath it. So that helps. But yeah, you're right. These things do have, they always have their own internal logic and their own internal, it's not really.
It's not a language.
Or a mythology, but there's they always have their own world. And once you get a sense of what that world is like, you will see that, oh, this thing is called this, and it's really the same as this other thing somewhere else. So it's the same concept, just implemented a little bit differently.
And called a different name.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different name, and maybe it's in a different place, but I can kind of see why they put it there. And there's always that design that happens that is a little bit personal to the application and customized, but really isn't that different from other things. Even really complex software like SAP, I made a crack about Facebook and how ridiculous it is to try and understand how their Meta Business Suite works. But I can kind of see at a very basic level some of the logic of why they've done some of the things that they did. I just don't know all of the details of what they've actually done, but I can kind of get why.
Part of the problem with Facebook is that they've been very messy in their releases.
Yeah.
So sometimes, so this whole Meta thing and the, like when you're administering a page in Facebook, and many people listening to this podcast probably have experience administering pages, that whole tool set has changed dramatically. And sometimes parts of it were broken. And there would be changes to, like, you know, where you set your security settings or where you do your preferences. Like for me, it was adding people as co-admins or sub-admins and things like that. It was like, okay, today it was here, but, you know, what is it now? I have to go and find it again. And there's two places that you can do it. And if you do it in one place, you kind of get it right. And then the other place is better. And there was a lot of mushiness to it.
Oh, and also, if you want to add people as kind of administrators, if you do it one way, you have to find them on Facebook and grab them that way. If you do it another way, you have to know an email address.
Yeah.
And send them an invite through an email address. Well, most people's Facebook is their personal email address, so that's trickier.
It's sloppy. I find that Facebook does have that internal language, but it is very sloppy, and I don't think it's been implemented that well. I also think that if you pay for it, it's probably a lot easier.
Well, this is at the risk of reopening another can of worms that is way too easy for me to rant about. This is one of those outcomes of a focus on rapid growth.
Yeah.
They're not focusing on building a product and putting any design into it and having sort of a cohesive organization to that product. They're just thinking, how can we sell more? Or we've got so much more selling to do.
Can you imagine the silos that exist at Facebook?
Oh, it must be brutal.
It must be
hellish. We're seeing stories in the news about Google trying to get on top of all of their stuff. And every week, new layoffs in different divisions and shutting down different divisions that were basically building the same type of product or duplicating efforts and things like that. And it must just be crazy.
Yeah. All of these companies that have done this huge growth, but aren't, their revenue numbers aren't the same, and they're trying to cut costs now and trying to figure out what is happening now that the free money isn't flowing anymore. It's a...
Yeah, it's not that easy to work with.
This is a huge departure from Best Fleets.
But is definitely part of our lived experience today at... whatever it was, 6:05 a.m., trying to figure out some of these things and why they're working and not working.
That's right, because, oh, yeah, tagging. Oh, my Lord.
We put the posts out there, and we want to tag all of the fleets that are winners. And in theory, you should be able to paste all of that in and have it work, or use one of our external tools that manages social media and have that work. But none of them were working reliably. And even when you manually selected all of the tags and saved it, only some of them would actually get hit. Some of them would get triggered, and some of them would just show up as plain text. So then you had to open it again And it seemed that you had to do it one at a time. Change one of them, save it. Reopen it, change one again. And this is all in a post that's live. So you're just constantly editing these live posts. So it ended up taking half an hour to get four posts copied in and pushed live, which should be nothing. It should be a few seconds.
Well, how many people did we have? We had six.
I think we had six people on that call.
Well, and so we had Kat, who did all of the logos and all of the movies and all of that. There's a lot of graphic design in
the 200 plus graphic deliverables.
Organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, there's no way.
But that was a smart move on your part, having Kat part of that meeting in case there was emergency graphic requirements.
Yeah, emergency. And there was.
And there was. Because they all have their own needs. They all have their own dimensions, and they won't work with something else. So we went to YouTube and was like, oh, this needs to be a different size.
And it had the wrong logo on it. And then also you can't figure out what size you're supposed to use for YouTube until you actually try and put something there. And then it says, eh.
Yeah, it won't tell you proactively what you should be doing. It will just tell you what you did wrong after the fact.
Yeah. And I think that comes into user interface. You know, uploading an image is crazy complicated now. It used to be you grab an image, you put it on social media, bang, you're done. Doesn't matter what size it is. It's going
to... Well, you would get options to resize it to fit the space.
Yeah. But now there's like all of these different platforms have their own specific dimensions, and this is what's going to look best, and this is what you have to do. And they are all making it, they all want to use the same image for mobile and for desktop, giant desktop. So you have to basically only put your image in the center of the space that, like for YouTube, you've got the center of like a big rectangle that's the only space you can see. So you have to be on top of all of that as well. So organizing graphics is a really tough job. For anybody who doesn't do graphics, it's not just about, you know, making a pretty picture. There's a lot of... You have to put a lot of thought into organization and process and how you're going to, you know, replicate the same thing over and over and over and have it look the same, have the colors the same, have the, yeah, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But every time there's a new logo that has to be done, I can just say, Kat, thank you.
Yeah, we found a person who actually likes doing that work.
Yeah, hey, I'm not interested in organizing logos anymore. I used to hate it. There are things that you hate that you complain about incessantly. One of the things I hated was, oh my God, I need to do another logo. And because we have just so many now, like there's square versions, there's rectangle versions, there are all the year versions, there's Hall of Fame versions, there's overall winner versions.
Multi-year.
Yeah, multi-year versions, two different versions of that.
In words and in numbers.
Yeah. It's a crazy amount of, and when you look at the folders that the fleets get when they get all their logos, there's like multiple folders that they have with multiple versions of the logo in there that they can use. And it is a lot.
And yet, one of those fleets at some point will say, can you send us this version? Our trailer wrap person is saying we need it in this format.
Oh my God,
and
yeah.
We will say, that's this one. You already have it.
Yes, a PDF will work.
Yes, can you send me a link to that? I don't have it. Because they won't ask for the version. Like, they won't look in the folder. They will just say, can you send me a version of this?
Well, we'll see. We have a new thing this year that is we're using a document signing system so that it's a little bit more formal. So it may be that people are going to think a little bit more about, you know, what logos are available. Go and take a look at that folder, you know. And what is nice is that after a couple of years, people kind of get into the gist of it, and they know that they need to get permission to get the logos. They know that there's logo usage guidelines. And that's really helpful for us because the brand, you know, anybody who has to try and take care of a brand and make sure that, you know, people aren't using things improperly or aren't taking the logo and ripping it apart or using it improperly or trying to copy it. It's really hard to keep on top of it.
Oh, yeah. And we're pretty militant, I would say, is the right word, about protecting that, because there's already a lot of variations of the logo when you've got like the finalist version and you've got the winner and the fleets to watch and the multi-year and the overall winners. There's already a lot of variations there. What we don't want to do is create confusion in the marketplace by allowing people to make their own variations or misuse it or misrepresent themselves as winners when they're not, because that's the stuff that kills the credibility of a program.
Yep.
If anybody can just slap a bastardized version of that logo onto their website or onto their trucks, then the program has no credibility. Then you as a winner, you as a fleet who busted your butt to get onto that top 20, has diminished value from that effort. And we don't want to see that. We want to see very clearly that the winners are using those logos and that's it. And that makes it a lot easier for drivers to have some trust that these people are actually making an effort to provide a better workplace.
And the year is really important. We're very specific about, no, you don't get to use the logo without the year. You must use the year because you need to show the year that you won. If you only won in 2013, that says something, that communicates something, that, you know, what happened after that. Or that you're on the other hand, you know, 11 years consecutive or 13 years consecutive like Grand Island Express, that also communicates something. So if you're just, you know, grabbing the logo and doing what you want with it, it basically, yeah, like you said, it waters it down. It waters down the meaning. And what is really powerful about an image like a logo, because it's a symbol. And the power of symbols is that it's recognizable and it's identifiable and everybody knows what it means. So if people are messing around with it, it loses some of that meaning and some of the value. And we know that that logo has value and we want to keep it that way for carriers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so now that the top 20 announcement has wrapped up, we turn our sights to our big conference in April.
Yes, which is in Charlotte.
Yes.
Which, have I been to North Carolina? I think I might have.
I've been to Charlotte once.
Raleigh, I think I've been to?
Yes. Yes, I believe you have been to
Raleigh. But I haven't. Raleigh. I've never been to Charlotte, and I've never been to the NASCAR Hall of Fame, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
So tomorrow at our weekly Best Fleets Review meeting, we will start working more on the specifics, and that's another thing where there's hundreds of different pieces that all need to fit together. We have been, for the last couple of weeks, starting to get serious about things like choosing pens and choosing lanyards and portfolios and all of that stuff that you get when you go to events. Somebody has to look at the 50 different options and pick ones they're going to use.
And we have to figure out a pen that will fit the logo, which is always fun. And there's going to be a new award. So we have to design a new logo.
And a new trophy.
For the new trophy for the Stratosphere Award.
Yes. So what is the Stratosphere Award, Jane?
Well, let me tell you what the Stratosphere Award is. It is going to be the overall award for the Hall of Fame. So there are 10 fleets. They've all been, I mean, they've been best fleets for multiple years. I think the lowest one is probably Garner.
Yeah, at eight years. Yeah.
But most of them are 10 plus. And these, like, some of them have won the overall award two or three times.
So what you're saying is that they're all compulsive overachievers.
They are absolutely compulsive overachievers, but they also run some very, very nice programs and their drivers are very, very happy with them. And what we wanted to do was have a new award that basically is the best of the best. And we thought, well, we've heard that the companies in the Hall of Fame would like that. They have hinted at that.
You're being very nice. You're being very nice about it. I thought putting them in a Hall of Fame and having them requalify and get a new Hall of Fame logo every year, it's a Hall of Fame. That's a big deal on its own.
Yeah.
But no. Oh, we want to have an overall award. We want a chance to compete for an overall trophy.
Well, they didn't really say it that
way. In my head, that's how they were saying it.
Well, I thought that was a good idea, actually.
Yeah, I grumbled about it because it started after the first year. It was like, oh, we're not going to be able to compete for the overall award anymore.
I know we did. Well, they want to compete.
The second year, it's like, oh, we really wish we could compete. It's like, okay, now this is our third year with the Hall of Fame. We're able to introduce this. And we, now that we are producing this conference on our own, we've got the latitude to take a little bit of extra time, a little bit of extra space on stage, do another award presentation. And yes, if there's one thing that creative is obviously short on, it is logos to build and produce every year. So yeah, we have that to do, but it does give us something to talk about and gives us another opportunity to recognize and continue to incent them to keep moving forward.
Yeah. And, you know, it does seem like right now that there will not be a company that doesn't requalify for the Hall of Fame, because for the last, I guess this is the third year that they've like all of them that started all the inaugural ones are still there.
Right.
There are, you know, there is the opportunity, and we saw this in the scoring where, you know, fleets may drop off.
Yes. It's not a given that they're going to requalify.
No. And there is the potential for a big fall. I don't know. I don't want to be the one to talk to one of the Hall of Fame fleets and go, you know, we didn't requalify. Yeah, your logo wasn't on Facebook for a reason.
Yeah, I'm going to be sick that day.
Oh, God, yeah, I'm sure that, well, we'll let Trish take that call.
Yes, that's what we hired Trish for. Yeah. You know, it's not going to matter. If that happens, whoever it is going to call our cell phones directly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be but the answer is going to be your driver surveys weren't that good. Your programs are falling behind other companies.
I hope it ends up being something like satisfaction or turnover or something where.
Too many collisions.
Yeah. Where we can say, look, yeah, you know it.
Your DOT numbers were over 2. Yeah.
I hope it's something like that where there's not really any argument.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's possible that it will happen at some point in the future.
Yeah. Well, you know, satisfaction numbers need to be looked at.
Yes.
I'm going to be very passive aggressive about that, but you should be looking at your driver satisfaction numbers.
Yes.
Sometimes they tell you something.
And programs and all of those pieces are important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to keep working on it for sure. So the new award will recognize the company that is what we're saying, the best of the best, the performance of the Hall of Famers who had the best overall performance across all areas. So it will certainly be the final award that we give out at this event, and it will be something interesting to talk about.
And we will have a new award trophy.
Yes.
So the Hall, whoever wins that award will go home with the Hall of Fame award and the overall Hall of Fame award.
They're going to have some boxes to ship.
Oh, I know. It's going to be a madhouse.
More things for Trish to deal with.
Yeah, but fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we've spent more than 45 minutes just talking about basically today.
Well, today we've been doing a lot of work to build up to today.
Yeah, it was a culmination of a lot of stuff. So normally I would talk about what else is coming up, but I think I'm hard pressed to think about anything else because we're still kind of decompressing from this. And we know that we're starting to pivot into more serious or the final planning for our event in a couple of months. But I think this probably is a good place to wrap it up for this episode.
Yeah, well, just to let everybody know, if you want to register for the conference, go to bestfleets2drive4.com and
it's under the conference tab now. There's a menu option for conference and you'll see it right there.
All right.
Or you can go to bestfleets2drive4.com/conference. Yeah, go to the website. It's on the website. Go there, register. We are starting to see registrations come in, and I think in a couple of weeks, we are probably going to have to put out a post that lets people know that there are a limited number of tickets. It's not like one of these conventions where it's essentially unlimited.
Yeah.
You know, there is a finite number of seats that we have here, so it's possible that it may sell out.
Okay.
With that, I think we can wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a good day. Thank you.